Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. Mike Campbell has a new album with his band, The Dirty Knobs, and describes his evolution as a musician as confident but still striving to improve. On this edition of Music Journeys, Campbell shares the inspiration for the album titled Vagabonds, Virgins, and Misfits, which includes collaborations with Graham Nash, Lucinda Williams, Chris Stapleton, and fellow heartbreaker Benmont Tench. Campbell spent almost 50 years with Tom Petty, from the early days in Gainesville with Mudcrutch to the Heartbreakers, and you'll hear some reflection on those times from Campbell, including one of the great lessons he learned from Petty. Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs also have a couple tour stops in Ohio, Cincinnati July 9th, and the Midland Theater in Newark July 11th. Mike Campbell, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Mike Campbell. I used to be in a band called The Heartbreakers, and I'm now in a band called The Dirty Knobs, and this is my musical journey.
Latest release from Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs opens with The Greatest, which reflects the gratitude he feels for music fans.
It's a thank you, but more directly, I was thanking the recent audiences that have been showing up for the Dirty Knobs, which I'm so grateful that we have an audience, and it's growing, fortunately. And we had just come off a tour, and I just was feeling very grateful and wanted to thank everybody. So I thought, what's the best way to do it is just to put it in a song. It's you know, there's very few lyrics in it, and the music, it's kind of psychedelic, droney, swirly kind of music. And, you know, you are the greatest. Thank you very much for coming to the show, and I hope to see you again, kind of thing, you know. Yeah. I was born in Panama City, Florida, but I wasn't there very long enough to remember it. My dad was an Air Force guy, so we traveled around a lot, wherever he was stationed, but we ended up in Florida and Orlando and then Jacksonville. And so I basically soaked up a lot of Southern culture in terms of music. The radio back then was George Jones, Tammy Wynette, and Patsy Cline, people like that. So, and then of course, when rock and roll came along, that was a whole new game. But my roots are in Florida pretty much, you know, the South. My earliest memories would be my dad playing records, Johnny Cash, Elvis, Hank Williams, things like that when I was little. I love Scotty Moore and Luther Perkins, guitar style. That's the first thing I think it turned me on to music.
And then what was it that kind of led you to take everything that you were soaking in and say, I want to be a part of this. I want to do this.
Well, you've heard this story before, people my age. It was the Beatles. You know, when the Beatles came along, it was like everything went from black and white to color for me. You know, it's like, that's what I want to do. I didn't know if I would ever do it. You know, I begged my mom for a guitar for a long time, finally got a piece of junk to try and learn on. But that seeing the Beatles on TV and hearing their records on the radio, you know, the top 10 would be six Beatles songs. And I just loved them. And I loved that whole era, you know, the Hollies, the Kinks, the Animals, the Stones. It was just a great time to grow up and learn the guitar.
So many listeners are familiar with you. With respect to the Dirty Knobs, though, starting this band that, you know, many of us know and love, what did that do for you?
Well, it gave me an outlet for all the music I was writing. You know, I had a partnership with Tom for many years, and we wrote a lot of great songs, in my opinion. But I wrote a lot of stuff that he could not process. It was too much, you know. I was just a kind of overindulgent or whatever. But I started, all this music piled up on me. And as the Heartbreakers got more successful, we would have breaks between tours. And so I started messing around in the studio with my friends, you know, and that turned into the Dirty Knobs, trying out new songs, trying to find my way around a microphone, this and that, and having fun. You know?
Well, definitely a lot of fun on this latest release. Overall, how would you describe this collection of songs, Vagabonds, Virgins, and Misfits, where they come from, what they represent?
Well, when I was thinking of a title, those words came to me because a lot of the characters in my songs, and in the Heartbreaker songs too, if you think about it, are desperate characters in some kind of bad situation, trying to get out of a dead-end town or get to a better place in their relationship or whatever it might be. But ultimately, what I try to accomplish is some kind of redemption and hope at the end of the song. So I like songs that are dark, but then make you feel okay at the end, like, you know, there's going to be a happy ending, hopefully somehow. And that's the only parameters I really have. I tend to fall into that desperate character thing for some reason. But there's a lot of hope and redemption in some of these songs. And I also have been watching too much news over the last 2 years. It's so depressing, you know, what's going on in the world right now. And I thought, well, you know, I can write about that, or maybe I can go against the grain and offer a little relief from all that world and just some happiness and joy for a moment. You know, that's what I try to do.
Here comes a brand new day. You can throw away the last one. It's gonna be alright as long as no one tries to pull a fast one. And this is what you've waited for. There's no waiting anymore. These are the best of times. This is the good life, and all you dare to dream can come true. Dare to dream.
Dare to dream. You got a little help on that too, but what an inspirational and motivational track. I right off the bat, you know, today's a new day. Whatever happened before, forget it. Start anew and keep dreaming.
Well, that's it in a nutshell. Yeah, and I was very fortunate to get more than a little help from Graham Nash on that song. He made it great, you know, and he put those harmony. I'm, you know, like I said, a Hollies fan. He put the harmonies on the chorus. It sounds like the Hollies to me, that sound. And he came up with a little dare to dream. He came up with that part. So he really contributed to that song quite a bit. And it's really optimistic, maybe too optimistic, but I don't know if there's such a thing.
It's okay. It's okay to be optimistic. How about So Alive? Kind of a quick little jammer, a banger, I guess, as the kids call them.
Scared and
Nowadays, I don't really practice guitar, but anytime I sit down and pick up the guitar, I immediately play whatever comes into my head. And I wrote that in 3 minutes. I sat down, I think I'd been listening to the Ramones too much or something. I wanted something with exuberance, and I had the riff, and I threw some chords together, some words, and the band showed up. We played it once or twice. It was done. So before I even knew what it was already recorded, you know. And, you know, it's every time I see you, I feel so alive. You know, it's a love song, really. There's a song called Hands Are Tied, which is probably the heaviest song. It's an old song that I dug up. I had almost forgotten about it. And I dug up an old analog tape when I was going through my library. And I found that song. I felt connected to it, you know, the desperation of the character trying to help someone, but you can't and you're stuck. And I like the music is unique because it has some time signature changes, which I don't normally do. And I just felt a spiritual connection to that song.
What about Innocent Man? What's the story behind that one?
Some of the songs that I've been writing are like little movies. You know, there's characters that go through scenes. And that's an example. It started out, it's an older song. I originally was calling it Immigrant Man. And then I thought that was a little too confusing. So it was George actually suggested we change it to Innocent Man, which is a better line. But it's about, it started out as fictional, about crossing the border and getting in trouble. But the second verse where he talks about the dogs on the bus and then getting dragged into the questioning.
Tractoring dogs on the bus, sniffing around for angel dust. Drag me in like a criminal, then they called in the constable.
That happened to the Heartbreakers in Canada once. We were driving across the border in the middle of the night, and they brought the dog on the bus, and he found something in somebody's shirt or pocket and drug us all in, stripped us down. So part of that is real, and the rest of it is changed to protect the innocent.
That's okay. And then back to back, I mean, what a song Don't Wait Up is.
Thank you.
Don't Wait Up is curious because it's a whimsical lyric, and the chorus is a really humorous punchline. And I was thinking about that, you know, these lyrics don't really mean anything. My drummer at the time says, no, but neither does Goo 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 Choo. You know, it's like, these are like whimsical, imaginary lyrics that are fun and sound good together. So it's just that kind of a song, you know, it's not trying to be too serious. And the punchline is, don't wait up for the shrimp boat, mama. It's a Southern thing. The actual line is, don't wait up for the shrimp boat, mama, because daddy's coming home with the crabs. But that seemed a little edgy for the record. And so I changed it a little bit. But live, I sing those words because I think it's hilarious. You know, you got to have a sense of humor.
Absolutely. Oh, this is great. And then some old friends helping you out.
Well, it's my friend Chris Stapleton, who's become a songwriting buddy and brother, really. We hit it off really well. And he was in town that weekend. He was getting another Grammy or something. And he came by and I had the track up. I said, would you be interested in singing a verse on here? And of course, being Chris, he said, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
When I make it to June, or ever love you July, don't you get your signals crossed, you can kiss my ass goodbye. Don't wait up for the shrimp boat, mama. Daddy won't be home to way past dawn.
And he made it better, you know. And then we thought, well, God, it'd be great if he has a piano on. That was called Benmont. And Benmont came over and one take just blasted the piano, the Little Richard stuff at the end. It was just all spontaneous. The guests were all spontaneous. You know, it was great.
It's wonderful. Amanda Lynn, a short one, but what made you want to close the album with that?
Well, I stumbled on it on an old analog tape. Obviously, I was just messing around with the mandolin one day. I didn't think much about it, but I think it was George said, you know, this is a nice little piece of music. It might be nice as like the end of the album to kind of set a mood of thanks for being here, goodbye. I use that on the gigs now as a walkout music, and it's really nice. It's not even a song, it's just an instrumental.
Right, absolutely, but it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Mike, you've been at this a long time. How have you evolved as an artist? What do you hear? What do you feel?
I feel confidence, definitely, with my group. I'm learning to be the leader of the band and writing the songs and fronting the band and connecting with the crowd and being the, you know, master of ceremonies. I'm growing, and definitely in that way, more confidence in everything, really. And the guitar playing, I don't practice guitar, but I usually practice. I don't practice at all, really. I usually just write. When I pick the guitar up, I might noodle around. As soon as I get something that sounds good, I go, well, that could be a song. And I'm into the songwriting mode, you know. So I'm always chasing the songwriting muse. It's a magical gift that I really treasure. And I'm always trying to get better, you know, always trying to improve. And the nuance on the guitar, I kind of play the same way I've always played, but I have a little more attention to detail and nuance, you know, and I'm not like a show-off player, but I try to come up with tones and bits that fit the song, and that you can always get better at that, you know. So, yeah, just I'm older, you know, a little, hopefully a little wiser. I don't make as many mistakes maybe as I used to, and just trying to get better. And I feel improvement, you know, as long as I feel like it's getting better, I'll keep doing it.
Acknowledging that it's nearly impossible and probably unfair to narrow down so many years in music, but, you know, the Heartbreakers have come up a bit. What are a few extra special experiences that you hold close?
With the Heartbreakers?
Yeah, and Tom.
Oh, there's so many. Off the top of my head, playing Albert Hall at the George Harrison tribute was tremendous. Doing the Dylan tour, we did a couple of years with Bob back in the 90s all around the world. That was a great influence and inspiration. Madison Square Garden is always a thrill. You really feel like you've hit the big time when you play there. Those are the first things that pop up. You know, the Heartbreakers legacy, I'm so proud of it. And mostly the songs, you know, over those years, Tom wrote many songs and we wrote a lot of songs together. And I'm really proud of those songs. And I do a few in my show now from time to time, deeper tracks or just for the memories and because I know how they're supposed to sound, you know, I know how to put them across and I want to keep that alive. That's part of my DNA and I'm proud of it. And I think the crowds appreciate the odd Heartbreaker song now and then, you know, but it's interesting time, you know, Tom's been gone like 7 years now. It's hard to process all that. And the Heartbreakers was nearly 50 years and so much happened. But in the blink of an eye, you look back and you go, well, yeah, that happened. You know, I went to high school once. I was in a band once. And, you know, I did this, I did that. And now I'm just keep moving forward. It becomes a thing in the past.
Quite a journey. Is there a piece of advice from Tom that you lean on as you continue creating your own music?
Yeah, tell the truth. You know, tell the truth. Be real. I also learned that from Johnny Cash. I once asked my dad once, why do you listen to Johnny Cash so much? He says, because he tells the truth. You know, so that's what I try to do. I learned a lot from Tom, but that's the first thing I would think of is integrity. You know, musical integrity is everything. You know, don't sell yourself out, basically. Do it in music because you love it, not because you think you're going to get rich.
This probably won't come out the right way, but is there something for the rest of us? We're not musicians, but we feel, listeners feel connected to musicians because of the music. And so when somebody is such a big part of something that you were in, I guess we look at it and go, how do you, it'd be easy to like remove that, right? And so non-musicians, when somebody, we lose somebody, maybe that thing that we love to do with them, you know, we don't want to do because it's painful. I guess a roundabout way, how do you kind of carry on in something when a huge piece of that thing isn't around to do it with you anymore?
Good question. Very deep. The songs, you know, the songs live on. And sometimes it is painful for me to hear a Heartbreaker song. You know, I get wistful. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, that was good. You know, we had something going on, and I'm really proud of that. And I want to keep that memory alive, you know. It's hard to put into words, but it's bittersweet. I get this occasionally because I know, you know, it's hard for me to fathom it because I have my heroes like Harrison, Keith Richards, and so many, you know, Bob Dylan. But sometimes people will come up to me that if Heartbreakers music has been really important to them, you know, and they'll come up and they'll say, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, your records have been the soundtrack of my life, you know, and it blows me away. And I go, well, mine too. You know, I was just in there living it, but this is the soundtrack of my life. You know, it's important to me. It's part of my character. And I love those songs and I love those years. And it hurts sometimes, but, you know, You know, I lost my mom and dad too, you know, but they're still in my head. And Tom and I were pretty damn close, you know, nearly 50 years of songwriting partnership and brotherhood. And it's tough, but, you know, the music is healing. So I just focus on that.
It's tremendously healing. Mike, thank you so much for your time. And thanks for enriching our lives with your music. It's been a thrill to chat with you.
Thank you very much, Mike. All the best. Be healthy and safe.
Oh, looking forward to seeing you in Central Ohio, too.
Yeah, come back and say hi to us. If you come to the gig, definitely come back and say hi. Another Mike is always welcome.
Mike and Mike.
Okay. See Bye. Ya.
And thank you for listening to Music Journeys, a part of 90.5 FM, WCBE Columbus, 106.3 in Newark, online at wcbe.org, and broadcasting on the new WCBE app. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.